This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we're rolling here on Sports Talk. I'm Jeff Nowak, filling in for Steve Geller, taking you up till 7 p.m. Then we'll hand off to the Matt McMahon Show. Got Charlie Long running things behind the glass at 6:20. We'll have Catherine Terrell, ESPN reporter, going to break down salary cap, combine notes, all that good stuff. We did get, Charlie, it is officially restructure season. It started. This is it's Mardi Gras and then restructure season. Those are actually two high holidays in New Orleans.
I want one year where the Saints just have cap space, where they can look at free agents.
What's that like?
We don't know. We've never known. So that's unfortunate because you see, all these teams that are spending money and they have the money to spend. Like the Washington Commanders are able to make a trade for Debo because they can eat his contract.
Look at Max Crosby. I love me some Max Crosby.
I think he's
an excellent player. That is not a $35 million a year football player.
It's a huge contract.
But that's the perk of playing for a team with oodles and oodles of cap space, and B, a team that doesn't really have a quarterback, so they can pay their top defensive player quarterback money.
Yeah, and you can look at what the Patriots are about to do next week in free agency,
right,
where they have to basically build an offense around their rookie quarterback, and they have the money to do it. So, yeah, 1 year. Just 1 year. I'm not asking for much. Just 1 year the Saints to have cap space.
Not sure it's going
to
happen. I think they're going to break your heart again. I think they're going to go sign some players this year. And that's what I want to talk to Catherine Terrell about, because I think the Saints are going to be more active in free agency this year than people probably anticipate, and it's going to annoy some folks because the let's tank and lose as many games as possible crowd is going to be really bummed out again.
Is it going to be a lot of one-year deals again, though?
That's what I think they should be doing. I'm not convinced they will. I think they're going to say, hey, we brought in a head coach. We sold him on a vision that we're going to try to go win games. Or we're going to give him every tool at the disposal to do that. I just feel like that's the way it's going to go. We'll find out.
Yep.
But let's set the Oakland Arzuelas talking text line. Chime in, 504-260-1870. Shoot us a text. Give us a call. We're going to go to Chris in California. He's been hanging on. I hear he's the world's biggest Kenny Pickett fan. I think that's what he wants to talk about. Chris, how you doing? You're on WWL.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Good. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah. So I just got maybe a proposal. Perhaps Mickey Loomis can reach out to the New York Giants and send Derek Carr to the Giants. And then, perhaps he could get on the phone and talk to Howie and get Pickett over here, or get over to New Orleans. That would be my proposal, and then perhaps maybe he can they can also talk to Jordan Addison's agent and bring him over to the Saints as well. He needs to have that chemistry where he can have the confidence behind the players that are on the same team, and then also with the chemistry that he has with Kellen Moore and then Doug Nussmeier as well. So you put all that together, and I think that the Saints can, you know, go very far in the postseason, perhaps, you know, make, you know, sooner or later make it to the Super
what,
Bowl.
I have a question for you, Chris. What makes you believe that Kenny Pickett is the answer to the Saints' problems?
Because he has no limitations. I look at his body of work, and he can get it done with the best of them. Okay. A lot of people want to go ahead and say that his hand size, but I don't believe it, never have believed it, and they created this narrative around his hand size. And that's just, I've never believed in that. Like, Michael Vick had the same type of hand size, and he was a very successful quarterback. So I just think that he has no limitations, but they create this narrative around him that he's a bust. And I can't wait, honestly. Whatever team goes out and gets Kenny Pickett and he has that fair opportunity, I cannot wait for him to prove everybody wrong. It's going to come. It's going to come. And hopefully maybe the Saints can go ahead and be the one to change that narrative around him.
I'm rooting for him. I would be very surprised if the Saints went out and got Kenny Pickett. I don't think that, you know, Derek Carr is really a trade candidate. And I know a lot of people want to throw that out there and say, hey, they should go trade him. He has no trade clause. He has no incentive to be like, hey, yeah, trade me. He's going to say no.
As bad as people say this year's quarterback class is, like with Cam Ward and Tre'Davious Sanders and Jackson Dart, yeah, Jalen Milroe, that year's class was rough, man. Like the Kenny Pickett class, where he was the only first round pick, yeah, and then Desmond Ridder and Malik Willis. It's just it wasn't a great class. I'll be interested to see where he goes. I don't know if he's a starter. I think that he's probably going to be a long time backup. I don't really foresee anything more for Kenny Pickett, but I guess we will see. It depends. Landing spot obviously matters. I agree with you. I think that, you know, there was a little bit of buzz about a month ago that maybe Derek Carr could go to the Giants. The Giants are in such a weird spot because they were all in on Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford stuck his nose up at him. And now you have a desperate GM and a desperate head coach that are both on a flaming hot seat entering 2025. And the buzz that they could trade up from pick 3 to pick 1 with the Tennessee Titans and take Cam Ward.
Yeah, I think that would buy them time. That's why it's going to happen, because if you bring in an Aaron Rodgers and it goes terribly, and that's kind of that, you're tying your kite to Aaron Rodgers, and that's how your career is going to end as a GM and head coach. If you bring in a rookie quarterback, there's kind of some built-in, okay, this guy's going to struggle to some extent, and you're not going to get fired in year one of that scenario. But that doesn't last that long. I mean, and that's probably what Eberflus thought with the Bears.
No, exactly.
Right? Didn't go well.
And so, but if you're the Titans as well, it makes all the sense in the world. You move back, you pick up extra draft capital, and you still get one of Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. Guaranteed. Even if, like, the Browns take, you know, Shadur at pick 2, you get your pick of Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter, who are the two best prospects in this draft class. So it makes sense for the Titans. It makes sense for the Giants, who are desperate in this situation, and they probably have to pay a little bit extra with the quote-unquote quarterback tax to move up to pick 1, but I could definitely see that happening.
Yeah, I also don't, you know, I think the idea of the Saints trading back from 9 is tough too, because I just don't see, like, it's really easy to say, yeah, they should trade back. I agree. They should trade back. Is the trade there?
I think
there just aren't that many trades of that realm.
Here's why I think it's interesting, and I brought this up with Mike. At pick 10, you have the Chicago Bears.
Yes.
Everyone in the world knows the Chicago Bears want an offensive tackle. They've addressed the interior offensive line. If Will Campbell, Armand Membu slide out of the top 8 picks, and the Saints are picking there at pick 9, I had them in my first mock taking Membu. I'm not even sure Membu is going to be there at this point. He had such a crazy combine. He's a freak athlete. He's 20 years old. He's a fantastic right tackle prospect. If a team wants a tackle, pick 9 is probably the spot to move up to. Hop the Bears and take Will Campbell if you want him. Hop the Bears, take Membu if you want him. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think, like, if you move down to the mid-teens, you can still get a strong prospect in this class and pick up some extra capital. I don't think it would be a bad decision. I just don't think that Mickey Loomis ever does it. So that's kind of the issue.
Well, you also, there aren't that many types of trades like that. When you really look back and you look back at first-round trades that did not involve a quarterback, there really aren't a ton of examples. Like, unless you are going up to go get a quarterback, the idea of giving up that much capital for any other player is just a tough scenario. You just don't, like, there really aren't a ton of examples. You'll see it happen in the second, third round, or late in the first round. Like, you'll see a team trade into the back end of the first round because the amount you're trading isn't as much. Like, the Panthers were able to trade from like 33 to 32 and they gave up like a fifth round pick.
Right.
But to trade up to 9, you're giving up a premium asset for the future when what are you getting here versus there? Like, what is your pick at 15 versus 9? And a lot of times I just don't think it's worth it to teams when they're trying to do their equations. Now, if that's Shedeur Sanders that a team is trading up for and they're like, we got our quarterback, then they're going to be a lot more prone to do it. One of the only examples I've found that is comparable recently is the Eagles trading up from, I want to say it was 12 to 10 to get DeVonta Smith. And that was with the Cowboys, and they got like an extra third rounder. And I think if the trade that I could see on the table, if it exists, is the Cowboys think the Bears want to go get Jeanty. Because I could see the Bears going and saying, hey, what do we not have next to our future star quarterback is a star running back.
Right.
And what do the Cowboys not have next to their franchise quarterback is a star running back. So I think that's like, if I'm the Saints, I'm like, hey, the Bears are going to take Jeanty. He's on the board. And I already told you I'm morally against top 10 running backs. I think you could probably sell the Cowboys on saying, hey, give us a third. You can come get Jeanty. We'll pick at 11, and we'll take the best on the board.
And I'm not saying that you should trade all the way back into like the 20s. Like, don't drop back that far. You know, when we were talking with Jim Derry in the last hour about it, Jeff, he mentioned that, you know, if you move into the teens, you can maybe pick up an extra first-round pick. I'm not so certain about that. You probably get an extra second this year and maybe a second next year. But then even then, that's extra premium draft capital that you need to rebuild this roster. So I'm for trading back, especially if, you know, some of those top players fly off the board instantly and nobody really slides to you at pick 9. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the Giants tried to do it and they ended up with Kadarius Toney, so that didn't really work out too well for them. But all right, I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Charlie Long. This is WWL. We're gonna hit the break, come back with ESPN's Catch. We'll dive into more Saints topics. Keep it locked on WWL.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Coming back in on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Going to get into a lot more Saints topics this segment. And we're going to go to the Okennard Jewelers Talk and Text Line. I'm bringing Catherine Terrell of ESPN to break down all that happened last week, what's going to happen this week, restructure season, all that good stuff. But first, and most importantly, Kat, how was your Mardi Gras? Are you officially on the other side of it? Have you turned the calendar from Mardi Gras season into restructure season?
I woke up at 7 a.m. this morning when my friends left. I started cleaning the house because I just couldn't stand it anymore. And it just felt like a cleansing. Like, we're moving on from the epic month-long Senior Bowl to Super Bowl to Combine to Mardi Gras parade of things happening. It's totally restructure season now, I guess.
Well, yeah, but before you came back to that, you did go out to Indianapolis. You spent time at the Combine. Yeah. You chatted with Mickey Loomis, Kellen Moore, Jeff Ireland. What were your biggest takeaways from those conversations as, you know, we kind of get deeper into this Kellen Moore offseason?
Yeah, maybe the difference was that Mickey Loomis spoke to the media this time versus it was just Kellen Moore in his opening presser. But they were way more firm on Derek Carr, obviously, as everyone knows now, than they were when Kellen Moore had his opening presser. For whatever reason, I don't know if Moore just didn't want to overstep in his first 2 days. Maybe it was the Loomis factor, but sometime between now and then, they decided Derek Carr is who they appear to be sticking with, and they're moving forward, I guess, structuring everything around that. And it wasn't really that surprising. I did this detailed cap breakdown that posted today, and it kind of said Derek Carr's the key to getting cap compliant. Cutting him would have made it extremely difficult to get under the cap and still maneuver in free agency, and also would have signaled that they're kind of giving up on the season in a way. And I just don't think they think like that.
Yeah, we talked previously about this, and it was like, you could have found a way to move on from Derek and do what you need to do, but it would have been ugly. It would have been scraping the bottom of the barrel,
right?
And you bring in a new head coach, and you're trying to sell him on a vision, and I don't know if that vision includes, yeah, but we're going to be real, real bad this year, but don't worry, it's going to be fine. I just think that's a tough thing to sell. Well, one other thing that I've seen noted is Mickey kind of intimated that the Saints are going to be a little bit more aggressive in free agency than maybe people might expect. I'm just curious. And it does seem like, hey, those things go hand in hand, right? Because if you're going to move on from Derek and you're going to figure things out that way, that kind of eliminates a lot of your options in terms of free agency. If you do keep Derek, and that would obviously imply you're going to restructure a majority of that contract, that's really the key, as you put it, to being active at all in free agency.
Yeah, I think it depends on how you think of it. I asked Mickey, you know, what does active mean? Active last year was signing Chase Young to that 1-year contract worth about $15 million. Is active signing a lot of players? Is it signing the one big player? And he said, you know, it's kind of a question for a year from now. He said, look at the Zach Bond contract. He's like, that's a sore subject. However, that contract is ranked like 120th or something is what he said. It was a 1-year minimum deal. And yet Zach Vaughn was almost the defensive player of the year and just got a huge new contract today. So that, I guess, would say the Eagles were active. So it was kind of interesting to hear him say that. I mean, really, just him saying that at all said okay, they really are going forward with Derek Carr. It's not just lip service, because if they weren't, they wouldn't get any of Carr's money back until June, because he'd have to be a post-June first cut, right? So just interesting to hear them say this, because I feel like they're going to be back in the same exact spot 1 year from now. They're going to have to figure out what to do with Carr. They probably will be tighter against the cap than it appears to be right now in 2026. And it all just feels very, let's get through this season and then maybe we figure it out from there. I'm not sure what you think, but that was my perspective.
No, I think a lot of this is, you have a first-year head coach and you want to give him the tools he needs, right? Whatever that looks like.
Sure.
You know, and you mentioned you put up a great article today. I went through it, the kind of a roadmap for, okay, how is this week plus going to go? The Saints have to be cap compliant by March 12th, which is the first day of the new league year, something you reported today. Eric McCoy, they've restructured that contract. That was kind of a no-brainer. There's a few no-brainer restructures on this on the cap table, not as many as there used to be, right? If you went back 5-6 years, you'd be like, okay, there's 7 or 8 names. You'd be like, okay, that makes sense. Now there's probably 3. But how do you expect this week, this process to go as the Saints navigate? What do they need to eliminate, and how do you expect it to play out?
Yeah, it's funny. I also read your salary cap story today. So good article. Lots of salary cap news today. And you didn't list out potential pay cuts. And I understood why, because that's something I don't love to do either. I have no idea what number both sides are thinking on, right? So I just chose an example for Cam Jordan if he gets a potential pay cut, looking at the late Will Smith pay cut 10 years ago. Wow, can't believe it's been that long. But he took a $6 million pay cut to come back to the Saints. He was an older player. We wondered how many years he had left. That's significant cut. Would Cam take a pay cut similar to that? I don't know. It's all about leverage. I have trouble believing they would play Cam Jordan at $12.5 million this year. Really think that they have to work on that somehow. And that Taysom Hill is also a question. That one's trickier. Taysom was a very important piece to them last year. The way Mickey talked about Taysom last week, it shows they certainly have a great admiration for him and want him on this team. Do they want to pay him what they're paying him now, which is $10 million, I think? I don't know. So we're really just guessing. But anyway, pay cuts for those two, maybe a few more releases, and then you have the no-brainer restructures with these younger players that'll be on the roster for years to come.
Yeah, and I mean, what is your sense of should the Saints still be operating this way? Like, it's really easy to look at it and kind of, and I'm guilty of this at times, of just saying, okay, this is what's going to happen. This is what always happens. But you look at the last 4 or 5 years, and I wouldn't say that they have gone to plan, right? Like, you say, okay, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this, but then injuries happen, the roster seems thinner than it needs to be. Should there be a kind of, I don't know, revised playbook, if you will, in terms of how this is all being done, because it does seem like you're just kind of rolling the same thing back every year.
Mm-hmm. To an extent, yes, but you know, we talked about this a lot in the media room, the two of us, I feel like, because I said months ago, before I'd done the math, well, they should just play Derek Carr at his current $50.4 million salary cap hit. That would make releasing him next year easier. They shouldn't make this problem worse. Well, then you actually look at the numbers and you realize how extremely difficult that is based on the situation they've gotten themselves in. Same thing with some of these older players. They might have to keep players that they probably should have moved on from because of the nature of the salary cap and where they are. And I think really the larger problem is signing free agents to big contracts. I don't think they've done that a ton. I feel like there's years they've tried to scale back, but it kind of all started with Derek Carr, and then you add Chase Young to that. They could have kind of sat back, not signed these guys, tried to find a lesser player to sign, and then they could have rolled over more cap space and maybe been in a better situation. So it really kind of comes down to, okay, they're going to get cap compliant, obviously. Are they going to be able to stop themselves from making their problem worse by signing some of these bigger contracts? And just based on what Luma said, maybe not. They want to compete. They don't believe in a total rebuild, and I think that they're just going to keep operating this way because the salary cap's going to keep going up.
Kat, looking at your article, you also detailed four other players that contract restructures just make sense. And I want to get your thoughts on, obviously, as you mentioned, Eric McCoy, Cesar Ruiz, Carl Granderson, and Pete Werner getting restructures, which doesn't get you cap compliant by itself, but you detailed basically saves about $20 million in cap for this year.
Yeah, I think that those players just make sense when I'm trying to understand how they're thinking. They're younger players. Carl Granderson, his base salary is already guaranteed this year, or a large portion of it, and next year. So, okay, he's going to be on the roster. You restructure him. You obviously restructure McCoy. It's a young player who's vitally important to your entire offensive operation. Pete Werner just signed a contract extension, so he'll be around. So those are the players I look at and I say, okay, those are restructures that seem right to do. Then you go to the more difficult ones, like Cam. At this point, you don't want to keep restructuring because there's, you know, there's an end point to that, right? He's not going to be playing forever. He is in his mid-30s. And yet, how do they address that contract? It's a $20 million cap hit. It's got to be addressed in some way. And that just comes down to how much do they want these guys in the roster and how much do they envision them being on the roster. And if you see Cam being on the roster 2 years from now, maybe it's not that big of a deal. But I definitely think that they should scale back with some of the older players, because otherwise next year you're probably going to have a big problem if DeMario, Cam, and Tyron, and Derek Carr, and Taysom are all still on the roster and have to be addressed.
Yeah, and then Tyron Matthew made sure to make it clear on Twitter this week that he's 504 forever. I don't know if he gets to make that call technically, but I believe him. Two players who does seem like, well, we know one is definitely not going to be here next year, and the other one sure seems like he's not going to be. So Jamal Williams had his contract terminated this week. It's a small savings against the cap, but it is a start. I wanted your kind of reaction on that, and also if you could just kind of break down what is going on with Ryan Ramczyk, and assuming he retires after June 1st, what will that make for the cap hits this year and next year?
Jamal Williams seems like a no-brainer to me. The second they signed Alvin Kamara, I felt like he became expendable. Wow, Mardi Gras really got to me. I can't even form words today. I apologize, y'all. I apologize. Tomorrow I'll be better. But yeah, so when I saw that news, I wasn't surprised at all. I just don't think the production matches the salary, and they couldn't really cut him last year because I think that would have actually hurt their salary cap, which is what happens with some of these contracts and the way they're structured. I also said it's possible Colin Saunders could be a cut. It doesn't save you that much, but it just depends on how much money they want to invest in the interior when Nathan Shepard's still in the roster and he's getting $7 million. So those two are two to look at, I guess, for surprise cuts. I don't know. That would be a surprise. And then the Ryan Ramczyk situation. That was one of the first and only moves they made for basically 2 months. He brought his salary all the way down to the minimum, which is what Drew Brees did years ago. It is a sign he will be retiring whenever he chooses to do so. What I expect will happen is that he will announce it, but he won't officially file the paperwork until June 2nd, which basically makes it so they can spread out a salary cap hit. They would account for $11 million this year and then $11 or $12 million next year, which is, you know, a little more palatable than trying to take on all of that at once.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it is funny because I've seen people listing out the cap space for next year, and then they post this gigantic number for 2027, and it's just, it's kind of funny because it's like, well, yeah, it looks that way now, except where do you think you don't just kind of erase that 43 or 46 million, you just kind of move it, right? Because, you know, like you mentioned, like Colin Saunders is an option, but there really aren't cut options. Like, that's the big thing that I think people have a hard time wrapping their head around when they look at this. Like, oh, cut the players. Well, you can't really, because that actually adds money to the bill. Like, the money you've pushed out over the future for some of these veteran contracts, yeah, you could cut them, but you might be breaking even. It might actually cost more against the cap this year. Like, Derek Carr, you cut Derek Carr, it's like, yeah, okay, you're saving a significant amount overall, but this year it would be like $1 million against the cap that you're reducing. So cutting players just isn't really a viable option, and I think that's part of the reason that managing the cap this way is complicated, because like, you can't just cut those players.
Right, and their restructure situation makes it more difficult to cut these players. I kind of broke this down a little bit in my story, and sometimes even I forget. So if you do a full restructure of Derek Carr's contract, you save $30 million this year. But what it does, it adds $7.7 million to each remaining year of deal. And so since they have all these void years, if they do that and they cut him next year as a normal cut, that's $42 million in dead money, or at least $19 million, even if it's a post-June first cut. So you have to look at, you know, how many years, even if they're fake, are left on the contract, and what are the consequences of pushing this money back? And the consequences are, as you said, you do this, and then the next year, it's all of a sudden, you know, putting you in the red to cut them. Even like looking at, I pulled up, you know, over the cap real quick, you know, looking at Cam Jordan's cap savings to cut, it'd be $4 million in the red right now. And there's ways around that. But yeah, salary cap math is funny, but it sure is fun to mess with and make spreadsheets for every offseason.
Yes, this has been an edition of Salary Cap Math Class with Kat Terrell on WWL. Okay, one more question, and then I'll let you go. So there's a couple contracts that are kind of baked into everything that, you know, like a Tano Passanio, a Juwan Johnson, a Chase Young. What is your read on those players? Because it does feel like, hey, the Saints would have some incentive to work out an extension with a Chase Young or a Juwan Johnson, but those players would probably want to test free agency, right? So that wouldn't really be something they could manage prior to March 12th. I'm just curious what your read is on that.
My guess is that they would let Tano void just because, you know, because of the injury, he didn't really play this year. He's a backup, and it's a small salary cap charge. So you can absorb that one. The big one is Chase Young. I don't know what his free agency market would look like. His numbers are kind of hard to digest, like, you know, in the sense that he has a lot of pressures but not a lot of sacks. So how much money would he make on the open market? Pass rushers do get overpaid all the time. That's not even just, you know, that's not a shot at him. It's just their teams will pay for pass rushers, just like the Saints did, and he's healthy. So, yeah, maybe he wants to test the market. The one that has me most curious is Juwan. I don't know where they stand with that. You have Taysom injured. You have Foster injured. I don't know where that one stands. But if he doesn't re-sign and avoids, that's a $6.5 million cap hit. So maybe if you could figure out a number smaller than that both sides would be happy about, that could work out. But that one is a big question mark, and I'm interested to see how that unfolds in the next 6 days, really.
Gotcha. Well, great stuff as always, Kat Terrell. You can find her work on ESPN. She did a great breakdown of all of this information. So if you want to go study up prior to this next week of restructure news, make sure to check that out. Thanks so much for the time, Kat. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And by the way, my favorite thing about this is that Eric McCoy could not do his restructure until today because he was enjoying Mardi Gras and riding on a float. So he is the mood that all of us have been in this entire week, and so it's been great.
Yes, if there's anything that screams New Orleans about Eric McCoy, it is that. But thanks so much.
Exactly.
Appreciate it.
Thanks again.
All right. Great stuff, as always. And again, that was Salary Cap Math Class with Catherine Terrell. I'm Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, taking you up till 7 p.m. This is WWL. Coming back in on Sports Talk, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long behind the glass, taking you up till 7 p.m. And Charlie, we did get some feedback on the conversation we were having before our chat with Kat Terrell and from 0072. And I made the comment, there aren't a ton of trades in the first round trading up for non quarterbacks. And I stand by that. Now, one thing that I didn't mention is if you're trading with the Saints, those definitely exist, because if you go back to 2019, you've got Marcus Davenport. The Saints traded up from number 27 to number 14 to select Marcus Davenport. They gave up a fifth-round pick and a future first, so that is a good example. They also traded up from 16 to 11 to get Chris Olave in 2022. They gave up, obviously, the 16, then the 98 and 120 picks, so it's effectively two-third rounders to swap picks there. And yeah, here's the thing. There are certain teams that do like to trade up. Now, the problem is when you are the Saints, you have one of those eliminated because the Saints cannot trade with the Saints. But those are two good examples of, hey, okay, what's the value of, hey, if someone's trading up from 16, you're probably looking at something in the mid rounds, maybe two, or from late first round up to where you are, which, you know, that would be a big shift from a team trading up from 27 to 9. You get probably a future first in that deal. The thing is, I just don't know if those are going to be there, and the assumption that they will is what I challenge.
Yeah, Mickey loves trading up. He never, I don't remember the last time he traded down.
I don't think he has.
I don't, yeah, he talked about it, I think, last year, where he just basically said, we feel like we'd be getting a lesser player if we trade down. That's his philosophy.
Yeah, no, and when you hear him talk about it, you understand why they don't like to trade down, because when you approach it that way, then it makes sense, because if you're viewing this as, we could either draft a player here and get this quality of a player, this caliber of a player, we can trade up and get what we perceive as a higher caliber player, or we could trade down and get a lesser caliber player. When you are approaching it from that perspective, you're always going to say, yeah, I'd rather get the better player.
No, and I get it. I still think that it's an option this year. I wouldn't trade down into the 20s. Now, if you're looking to get an extra first-round pick, that's probably what you need to do. If you trade into the teens, you're probably looking at maybe a second this year, an extra second this year, maybe a third next year, something like that, to move back five or so spots. You know, I need to look up the calculations for draft pick value. I don't imagine you would get an extra first-round pick if you move into the teens of this year's class.
No.
But getting an extra day two pick this year, an extra day two pick next year, I still think is enticing for a team that just desperately needs to refresh their roster with young talent.
And a team that I'd argue typically drafts pretty well on day two, right? Like, there have been some day one picks that have left you wanting. But, you know, when you look at their track record of drafting on day two, a lot of those stars that you pulled in 2017, 2016, those were day two picks. The Alvin Kamaras, the Trey Hendricksons, you know, the Marcus Williamses, the Michael Thomases, right? Sheldon Rankins. I'm sorry, not Sheldon Rankins. He's the one day one pick. David Onyemata, Von Bell. These are all day two picks.
There's an interesting discussion to have about this year's second round as well, where Mike has 20 first round grades in this class effectively, but he also mentioned that there's like a logjam of, you know, in between basically picks 25 and 45,
yeah,
where it's a lot of equivalent talent players. So if you get that extra day two pick and you have two picks in that number, right? Because you could have 45 and maybe an early to mid 40s pick if you trade into the teens. That's kind of what I'm talking about. That's where you can start to get those extra day two picks and once again get these good young players on your cheap contracts.
Yeah, I'd argue that this draft, whereas last year was kind of loaded with stars, and you knew that. This year, I think there's a star deficit. Like, there's maybe only a handful
of quarterbacks,
star players, but there is a surplus of starters, of quality starters, players that could develop into quality starters. And this is the type of draft where I want a bunch of picks because I think I can pull a lot of those guys in.
And once again, I would be cool with trading back and getting an extra second this year, extra second next year, or something like that. I just don't know if they'll do it because Mickey doesn't do it.
Hard to believe. But all right. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Charlie Long. We're coming back for one more quick segment here on Sports Talk. This is WBL. Closing out Sports Talk here, Charlie. You got an LSU baseball update for us?
Yeah, last night was not very pretty at the start. LSU found themselves in a 7-1 hole, but they came out of it. You don't play a good game, you still pick up a win. That's awesome to see. Tonight's very different, Jeff. They have blitzed North Dakota State just like the Bison blitzed the Tigers last night. It is now 5-0 in the bottom of the first, two outs, runners on the corners. LSU well on their way to picking up another victory in the midweek, potentially by run rule fashion.
Just like how I approach tonight's show. Start fast, finish fast.
There you go.
Wham, bam, we're gone. Right?
Yeah, I mean, they've already batted around. So Derek Curiel's getting a second at bat in the first inning as we speak.
That's what you like to see. Well, all right. Thanks, everyone, for hanging out. We're going to hand off to the Matt McMahon Show, talking about LSU men's basketball. Again, I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Charlie Long. This is WWL. Who dat?
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.